The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. I am Jordan Hall, and as always, I am joined by the wonderful Brooke Descher. We are recording from our NBC Sports Philadelphia content room. Brooke, while the Flyers were on their bye week and the All-Star break, there was news. Carter Hart's legal team confirmed he has been charged with one count of sexual assault. His legal team said he is innocent and will provide a full response to this false allegation in the proper forum, a court of law. This news, of course, stems from an incident in 2018 in which a young woman alleged that members from the Canadian World Junior team sexually assaulted her. The alleged incident happened in London, Ontario. London police is holding a press conference today, Monday, and we'll have a story covering it all at our website, NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. Brooke, what we do know is the Flyers have to move forward without Hart right now as they try to keep this surprise season going. They hold a playoff spot 50 games into the season, Brooke. They return from the break Tuesday. So we're going to get into our three biggest storylines for the Flyers after this All-Star break. So Brooke, I'm going to start with you, your third biggest storyline facing the Flyers here.
Yeah, well, I think everything that you just kind of touched base on is a great segue to my third point. Just being the fact that what are we going to look at goaltending wise moving forward? Yes, this team is currently in a playoff spot. Obviously, long term, it's still a rebuild. So obviously, it would be exceeding expectations if they made it into the postseason. However, what is the goaltending tandem going to look like? Before, you used to have a 1 and a 1A with Carter Hart and Samuel Erson. Now, Erson is the guy. Do you feel comfortable with running with, right now it's Cal Peterson, or if, you know, knock on wood, something happens and Felix Sandstrom, you know, comes back up with the big club? Do you see something like that happening, or like being okay? Or do you see their, you know, the Flyers trying to make some move at the trade deadline? Obviously, Danny Briere had said that this is still a rebuild. We're not going to move on from future assets to acquire anything temporary. But they still want to be able to compete. So obviously, I think it's the biggest storyline right now on and off the ice. Like, what is going on with goaltending? So do you see them kind of running with Erickson and Peterson as a backup, or just the goalie tandem? That's one of the biggest points coming off this break right now.
It is, Brooke. I think those are huge questions, because as you mentioned, they are very much in a rebuild, and Briere does not want to spend prime assets to supplement just one single playoff run. But at the same time, they've surprised people this season. They're in a playoff spot post All-Star break, and goaltending is the most important position. I don't think they just want to let it totally sink and not reward some of the players and the people that have made this season what it is so far. So it'll be very interesting to see how Erickson plays as the number one and who backs him up. If Cal Peterson can come in and spell him from time to time and be reliable, how those guys play going up to that March 8 trade deadline, I think will be a huge storyline, Brooke. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Brooke, I'm looking up front. My third biggest storyline is that forward. Sean Couturier and Cam Atkinson, how do those guys respond down the stretch? Do their bodies stay healthy? Can they keep doing what they've been doing? Atkinson, of course, went through that goal drought, but I think he's been really good in response to that.
For sure.
And I think players like playing with him. I think some young guys love playing with him in the way he finds open space, complements some of the guys that he plays with. And Couturier, I think, has just been a huge positive. He stayed healthy for the most part, and he's been the Sean Couturier that I think people remembered before those two back surgeries. And really, Brooke, I'm looking at what young guys can really answer the bell here. Can Morgan Frost take another stride like he did down the stretch last year? Is Owen Tippett going to deliver more career highs if he's healthy? Can Noah Cates provide some secondary offense? Will Tyson Forster go on a big run? Like, what's next for him? And really, will Bobby Brink be back? Will we see him, and can he provide a jolt? Because I think their offense is going to have to come from up front, and they are not a high octane offensive team. They're a bottom third offensive team. They're going to have to score more, and it can't just be on Konechny, Couturier, Atkinson. It's going to have to be some young players. So I'm really eager to see what young forwards can answer the bell, what ones might not, and how the Flyers act there if they don't or do get offense from their younger guys, Brooke.
Yeah, I think it's got to be scoring by committee at this point. You know, you don't have a successful, again, talking about the possibility of playoffs, you don't have a successful playoff run if only your top performers, if only your top scorers are contributed in any aspect. I do think if the Flyers wanted to ignite something in Bobby Brink, that worked by sending him down to Lehigh. He's basically been on fire since he's been sent down. And I think it's not the last that we've seen of Bobby Brink with the Flyers this season, which is great. And I think if he comes back, he has an opportunity to contribute in big ways. Like you said, with Couturier and Atkinson down the stretch, Atkinson's looked like a completely different player since he snapped that, what was it, a 26-game goalless drought.
Yeah.
It's been a night and day comparison. So him just being able to come in night in, night out and contribute any kind of offensive generation is huge. I'm looking at Farabee, just again, being like a consistent lock. I feel like we haven't discussed at length, which eventually I know that we're going to get into, is just how solid Farabee has been for this team all season. I feel like he's kind of surprisingly flown under the radar just in terms of how, in all aspects of his game, he's improved from the previous season. But yeah, I'm looking at him to maybe take the next stride. Same thing with Frost. And if Forrester can find any kind of offensive contribution, I'm not saying, you know, goal per game moving out of the All-Star break, but, you know, just kind of generating those chances. And he's had some great opportunities. Maybe the cards will start falling in the right, you know, direction for him. And then same thing with Owen Tippett coming back. I think when he is ready to go, following his injury, I think we're going to be in where we're not playing. I think the Flyers are going to be in really great shape in terms of offense. And I think coming off the break with the season worst 5-game losing streak too, they are coming in with like this the push, you know, it's now or never. You got to keep going. I think they're going to treat every single game right now like a playoff game because of how tightly packed the Metropolitan Division is. So it'll be really interesting to see who steps up and when, but I definitely think we're going to see, hopefully, some offensive forces coming out to play.
And I'm glad you mentioned Farabee. I think he can be an X factor. He already has a career high in points with 40. I mean, that's just two off behind Konechny. That's astounding progress, really, for Farabee after a year where he played all 82 games, but dealt with, you know, the offseason prior, where he couldn't really do much because of the neck surgery. Mm-hmm. He has absolutely answered the bell. And can he take an even bigger step? Can he be almost a go-to guy alongside, you know, some of the veteran names, all worth watching here? Celebrity cook Steve Martorano brings his Italian-American cooking back home to Philly. Enjoy Martorano's Prime at Rivers Casino and Steve's famous meatballs with Sunday gravy, prime steaks, and more. Make reservations for Martorano's Prime on Open Table. Brooke, your second biggest storyline going into the post-All-Star break stretch.
Yeah, so this is more, it's not a personal one, but it's something that has significantly bothered me. And I think that it has become kind of a really big talking point for throughout the 5-game losing streak, really, is we need to figure out the defensive situation because it's just, we got to be honest, it's not sustainable playing 11 forwards and 7 defensemen every single night, carrying 8 guys and one sitting every single time. It's just, and I understand that the debate is, well, everyone's playing so well, so you can't sit them. You're going to have to figure something out, because when you go 11-7 against, you know, Colorado, and you saw the game that they had against the Avs, it was rough. Mm-hmm. It was a struggle. And it was one of those games where they continuously fought back and kept it a game. But, you know, you're playing against one of the top guys in the world, Nathan MacKinnon. You have one of the fastest lines in hockey. You just, like, you need the forwards to be able to be compatible with that kind of team. And I just, eventually you're going to have an odd man out. And I think that it's great that, you know, not great, but that they've been, Stahl has typically been the odd man out. And there's been a lot of fear that, oh, okay, like, we're like, Tortorella is going to bench the young guys. He's going to bench the young guys through this process. You just wait and see. And Stahl's typically the odd man out, which is great, because, you know, I think Zamula consistently playing has been a huge boost in his confidence since he was put on the power play unit. But I just don't think it's feasible carrying eight defensemen at this point in the season. So do you see somebody getting sent down? Do you see somebody becoming a trade chip aspect, you know, as we move toward the trade deadline? Because I just think at this point you need to find a solid 12-6.
Yeah, and, I think, yeah. Yeah, no, I think 11-7 is probably not sustainable. I don't think players like it. I think they find it a hard time. They find a hard time getting in rhythm and understanding who they're playing with and when. They like a little more consistency, a little more rhythm. I'm not even sure coaches like it. From what I've heard, coaches aren't a big fan of it. That was my second biggest storyline too, Brooke. Okay. How does the defense shake out? Not as much 11-7, but just, yeah, who's going to be here after March 8th? I do think they almost have a surplus of defensemen. And a big reason why they went 11-7 is because they didn't think Tortorella didn't think some of the defensemen deserved to come out. Mm-hmm. And that tells you, yeah, they have a lot of defensemen that they thought were playing well. They have an emphasis on playing young defensemen. They have three now, really, in Drysdale, York, and Zamula. So, Brooke, in my eyes, my storyline here is I think Sean Walker looks like the most likely trade candidate of the bunch. They have three veteran defensemen on expiring deals, and I think for the purpose of their rebuild, they should move at least one, maybe two, depending on where they are come March. Nick Seeler and Mark Stahl are the other veteran D on expiring deals. I think Seeler is the one that maybe is the most likely to stay, just because I think the team really likes him. He's not a big cap hit. He's been here for a while. Walker is a guy that I think they have a chance to really cash in on. To his credit, he's having a career year. He's been a huge surprise. He was a cap dump from the Kings, and he's been a staple in their on their second D pair. So I think
no one expected.
It's
been great.
I think everyone was like, who is Sean Walker? Even John Tortorella admitted he didn't know about him. So Sean Walker and maybe Mark Stahl is a guy that they look to move on from. He's an experienced guy that contending teams, I think, will like, even though he hasn't played a lot. So,
yeah.
How will the D look after the trade deadline? And can some of the younger guys kind of step up? Can Zamula give them more minutes? He's kind of been sheltered still, even when he's in the lineup. He's kind of like a power play specialist. And in the third period, he's kind of been sheltered a little bit. Will the Flyers kind of loosen the reins and let him play? And can Drysdale, Brooke, in my eyes, can he stay healthy? Yeah. He has battled injuries this season before he got here and all of last year. He is a big-time player, I think, when healthy. But he is a smaller guy that has battled injuries. Will he be able to stay healthy as the games kind of get more physical down the stretch?
Yeah, it's really interesting.
It's going to be weird
because,
to say, yeah.
Yeah, but also, you know, I look back again at our storylines that we had before the season even started, and one of our biggest fears really across the board was, how are the Flyers going to look defensively? And they've been, for the most part, defensively sound. If you are rolling with seven defensemen because you don't think any have played poor enough to get taken out of the lineup, you know, I think it's a great, you know, testament to every single one of those guys, because they do go in and they work hard, and it's been great. And with the, you know, recent acquisition of Jamie Drysdale, just, you know, it really kind of stirred the pot a little bit in who is going to be here. Because initially, if we were talking about moving Walker at the deadline, I'd be like, okay, like, sure. But he kind of came in and is ticking all the boxes. He's, like you said, he's having a career year, but he's also been such a great locker room guy, and he just kind of fit the mold very quickly. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but I think that that's a he's become a really great possible trade chip as we move toward the deadline. And, you know, unfortunately, when you look ahead, you have like these young guys that are obviously going to be a part of this core moving forward. He might be the odd one out, which is crazy. I like him. It's tough, but like what Tortorella said a couple weeks ago, you can't fall in love with the players. You gotta, you know, respect, you know, the process of everything, because you'll be heartbroken once they leave. So it'll be really interesting to see how things play out in that regard. Yeah. But yeah, I just, no more 11-7, Jordan. Yeah,
I know.
Just no more.
I think the players are saying that. I think fans are saying that. They want to see the traditional 12-6. Mm-hmm. And this is part of being a rebuilding team. The biggest challenges were going to be probably around the trade deadline, but you have to cash in on assets and supplement the rebuild. That's what the Flyers promised they would do. And they have some guys that are exceeding expectations, you know, veterans that I think are going to attract contending teams, teams that feel like they are maybe a player or two away from taking the next step. And this is good. These are good decisions for the Flyers. I think the toughest one will be Nick Seeler, just given how well he has played, how beloved he is in the locker room.
The organization as a whole loves Seeler.
Exactly. Yeah. They love him. The coaching staff loves him. He's kind of embodied what they've done this year. And moving a player like that, I think, can shake up a locker room, maybe in a negative way. And while the Flyers do want to not lose sight of the future, I think there will be somewhat of an emphasis to reward what they've done so far. And perhaps that's not shaking things up too much, you know, making moves, but not totally ripping the roster apart. A roster that has produced, you know, a playoff team to this point, 50 games to the season. So Brooke, it'll be really interesting for Danny Briere and company as March gets closer. Mm-hmm. Brooke, your top storyline, what can it be? I'm really eager to hear what it is. Because we've hit on a couple big ones.
I know. So in retrospect, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, did this have to be number one? But I'm looking at it from the sense of this season that we have. And if they're going to make a playoff push, what is something that they need to do moving forward? Mm-hmm. And it is the gosh dang power play, Jordan Hall.
Yes.
Will they continue to build off of some of the recent success that they've been having? From the start of the season through December 31st, they were dead last in the league, like bottom of the barrel, 10.5%. It's atrocious. The power play was like hysterically bad. But since January, they're 18th in the league, which is a significant boost. I mean, obviously it's not top 10, but you know, you have to make your way through the rankings. And they basically doubled the production with like 20.5%, which is impressive considering how bad it was for how long. I think a lot of that has to do with Zamula kind of gaining that confidence since he's been, you know, given that opportunity to run the point on the power play. I think Drysdale running the second unit and them kind of alternating right now has been, you know, just a huge point to just, there's consistency. And I think that that's the biggest aspect. But man, sometimes we really like, we're watching these games and sometimes they don't even get a shot on, and it's for 2 minutes to not set up. It's just, it's absurd to me. So I'm really hoping that they build off of what they found, you know, leading up into the All-Star break since, you know, the turn of the calendar year. And really, if they have any kind of chance to succeed in the postseason, you know, if and when they get there, they're going to need to contribute on the power play. Like, that's going to need to be, if you're going 0-4, 0-5, sometimes 0-6 with a man advantage, that's just, it's not going to work out. It's not, if anything, it sways the momentum in the opposing team. And the Flyers have had a great penalty kill all season, so that's great. You're going to need to find ways to continue scoring offensively and taking advantage of the man advantage. So yeah, that's my number one right now. I feel like all three that I, you know, were all really big topics, but if I'm looking in the now aspect as well, you got to fix the power play. You got to hope that something just clicks and they keep building off of what they have.
power play is always a story in Philadelphia, right, Brooke?
What else?
No, I couldn't agree more. If they're going to be a kind of a Jekyll and Hyde offensive team, they're going to have to take advantage of what they get on the power play. Like, if they really struggle on the power play and they're like a 30th, 31st, or 32nd, like they were for a good portion of the season,
yeah,
that's just not going to cut it. And if the Flyers are going to be serious about actually getting in the playoffs and making, you know, maybe winning a series or like, you know, doing more than what the Flyers don't want to buy into too much in terms of just making the playoffs,
right,
being bounced, missing the playoffs, getting back in, they're going to be more serious of a contender. They're going to have to be better on the power play. I think all teams that are serious contenders, right, are at least like maybe flirting with the top half in the power play in the league. So that's going to be something to
watch.
They're
moving in the right direction.
But I think I think you're right. Zamula, I thought, gave them a lift. Drysdale, I think, is going to give them a different element. I think they actually have good decisions now to make about who's on the power play. Mm-hmm. So that's a positive. So I think the Flyers can at least take some momentum there, Brooke, going into the post-All-Star break, whereas they did lose five straight, but the power play has been better. And I think that's something they can work on.
Yeah. Yours, Jordan Hall, your number one storyline going into the second half of the season.
Very similar to how the power play is always a story, goaltending. I think it's just going to be the biggest storyline here is how far can Samuel Erickson take them? As we know, Hart is out indefinitely. It's uncertain if he's going to play again this season. So Erickson is the guy. And as much as I like his upside, and I know the Flyers really like his potential as a number one in the future, he is still a rookie. He is still playing his first full NHL season and just started getting number one type of starts consistently. And he struggled before the break. I know Tortorella said after one of the last games before the break, don't put this on Sam. Don't put this on Erickson. I think everyone can agree Erickson can play better. I mean, the Flyers were falling into 3-0 deficits consistently. It's not all on Erickson, but part of it is.
Sure.
What Tortorella and the Flyers have loved about Erickson was he would come up with those timely saves to kind of let them get settled. Mm-hmm. And we just didn't see that. Erickson in his final four games before the break, Brooke, he went 0-4 with a 4.59 goals against average and an 8.19 save percentage. So I think he can be better.
Yeah.
And it's really going to come down to how far he can take them. How consistently can he give them number one type of efforts? And then who can spell him? Can Peterson and Sandstrom kind of do this? And can the Flyers really rely on the goalies like they did in the first half? The first half, I thought they really had a bona fide tandem in Hart and Erickson that gave them a chance every night. Now it's on Erickson, this 24-year-old rookie who has not started like this ever in his career in the NHL. So it'll be really, it's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun to see if he can.
It's never normal.
And it'll be fun to see if this guy can surprise everyone and be the guy, or does he struggle and do the Flyers kind of search for answers and see what's next? I really think goaltending is going to be the biggest thing we're watching here, Brooke, moving forward.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting because Erickson, what his first few starts to the season, people were freaking out. They were like, they just signed him this offseason and he's playing terrible. That's because initially when they started, he was getting a game here and a game there, and he was a backup before they kind of moved into this alternating rotation, you know, game by game. I do think this recent losing skid that Erickson's been on 0-4 leading into the All-Star break, like you had said, I think it's very uncharacteristic of him. I do think he's going to bounce back. But, you know, you're also looking at everything that happened during the stretch, like obviously, you know, Hart taking the indefinite leave of absence and everything going on like that. Guys in the locker room can say that it has no effect on them, but of course they're thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know, of course it's going to take a toll in some degree. So, and the Flyers had an insane stretch leading up to the All-Star break as well. They were playing top teams left and right. It's not like they were, you know, losing against really bad teams. I'm going to completely pretend that the loss against the Senators didn't happen. But you're losing games against the Avs and the Bruins and Detroit again. And it was a really difficult stretch in a very condensed amount of time. Again, before the Flyers started their break, they played the most games in the NHL up until that point, tied with Vegas Golden Knights. They were tired. I'm just fully expecting everybody collectively to come back from this break refreshed, ready to kind of like brush the dust off, like wipe that off, you know, leave that losing skid behind them and really pick up Tuesday night when they are in Florida to face the Panthers. Now, another, you know, it's not going to be an easy win again, but I think that, you know, they know, and I kind of alluded to this in the beginning of the podcast as well. I think they're going to come out and play every single game like it's a playoff game, like every single 2 points matter, which they should. So we'll see. I fully expect them to bounce back and go down swinging. Again, like you had said, it's kind of crazy to think that we're even discussing the possibility of playoff scenarios and what's going on. So that's a testament to how resilient this club has been, how they kind of set new standards for themselves when a team didn't have any going into the year. So I think that they want to continue to build on that identity that you can never count us out and really just roll for that with the second half of the season. So I think everything, hopefully everything will be coming up roses, but who knows?
It is impressive that they even went into the break on a 5-game losing streak and they're still in a playoff spot. That tells mm-hmm. you how well they had played. Mm-hmm. And how
bad the Metropolitan Division was the last like 2 weeks
yeah,
before the break.
That too.
Everyone struggled.
Yep. I remember Sanheim mentioning that. I think he's a guy that is always plugged in mm-hmm. To hockey because he's kind of a hockey aficionado, I would say. So he's always plugged into the standings mm-hmm. and he had noticed that some other teams had been losing too. So the Flyers caught some breaks there, but really that just shows you how far they have exceeded expectations that they were able to lose 5 straight all in regulation before the break and still be in third yeah. place of the Metropolitan Division.
Maybe the hockey gods are on their side this year.
Yeah, maybe.
It's possible.
They're probably due a couple bounces there from the hockey gods, given some of the things that have gone on
Please.
The past 3+ years.
Please, for the fans.
Exactly.
Do it for the fans, hockey gods.
But, Brooke, I don't want to discredit also what Arison did. He had really like a 20-start sample size where he was, I thought, excellent. But my
point... There were discussions of him being in, you know, in discussion for the Calder Trophy.
Yeah.
That's, you know, when's the last time a rookie won that? A rookie goaltender won that, I should say.
Obviously. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, he was really good. But, again, that was also with Hart in a tandem where he was rotating, for the most part, rotating on and off. This is his first chance, really, at getting consecutive starts and being the goalie whenever they, you know, have a big game or feel like they're in a normal rotation of games, not a back-to-back or anything like that. So it'll be really fascinating to see how Arison kind of responds here to this. I think he's got the mental makeup to do it.
Oh,
I think
sure.
the Flyers love the way he attacks, you know, the position and being the guy. I think he's really kind of opened a lot of people's eyes, but can he keep doing it? I think it'll be interesting to see. And we'll have it all covered, Brooke, right here on the Flyers Talk podcast.
Woo!
Brooke, you mentioned Tuesday, the Flyers are finally back. They had a break of 9 days without a game.
I missed them.
I know. And they are back in action against Crazy. The Panthers, another big Atlantic Division kind of showdown against those top teams in that division. It'll be worth watching how the Flyers respond against those teams. And we'll have it all right here on the Flyers Talk podcast. Brooke Destra, thank you so much for joining me. Great to see you. Great to chat with you. A big thank you to Ben Berry, our podcast producer and guru, for always being flexible with our time. And Flyers fans, as always, thank you so much for listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, please rate and listen, and we cannot wait to talk to you next time.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.